Kix 902 1 ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Hi guys, thank you for joining us, all our listeners out there. We're loving it. We're having so much fun, right, Tor?
We're having so much fun, aren't we?
It is fun. You know what? I'm having a really good time watching the episodes, and I've been doing it with you, and I've also been doing it alone. And it's just, it takes me right back to the moment that we were shooting it. And maybe I can't remember a lot of things, but when I watch it, it's like I'm there again. So it's really triggering me, but in a good way.
So you watch it by yourself and you watch it with me. So do you choose you or do you choose me?
Oh, I have more fun when I watch it with you, definitely. Sis, who do you watch it with? You're still watching with your husband?
Kind of, yeah. But he's like, he's not committing all the way.
Oh my God. Okay, we're going to have to talk to him about this.
So he comes in and out. Like, it's not, he's not really sitting down and watching it with me. But also, we have two young twins, so he has to kind of be watching them at the same time too.
Oh, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. Well, this week's episode is, what's it called, sis?
It's called Every Dream Has Its Price. And it actually came out October 18th, 1990.
Want me to read a little synopsis?
Yes. Okay. Let's hear that.
Brenda's new friend has a problem in which Brenda suddenly finds herself included. Meanwhile, Brandon gets a job and Cindy gets a maid against her wishes.
She's not happy about that maid.
I don't know that much about this episode because I didn't experience it firsthand because I wasn't in it.
Where were you? I don't remember this.
I didn't tell you. So we were just getting to know each other, and out of 10 seasons, this is the only episode I missed, and it's because I got, drumroll please, a nose job.
This is the episode. And it heals and you come back by the next episode? Now I can't wait to watch the next episode.
I don't remember, but apparently it did. And my mom wouldn't let me get a nose job till I was 16. And I was not 16 in the pilot. So that's why I couldn't do it over summer, or not summer, but our break. So this was the first available. Because I'm like, well, why wouldn't we wait for like Christmas break or something? But yeah.
Wait, you wanted a nose job or your mom wanted you to have a nose job?
You're dead.
I'm just asking the questions.
I wanted to get a nose job and my mom was super supportive. So I did it, and the pilot, I guess, I did not have my nose done. And now looking back, I'm like, oh God, I wish I would have waited. And I think that is something, the takeaway for my children are like, wait till you're past your formative years, wait till you're adjusted in your own body, to be comfortable with your own body, to know what you want. Because at 16, it probably sounded like a good idea. All my friends were getting them. And I look back at my nose and I'm like, I don't see what was wrong with my nose. So I wouldn't have done it.
It's almost like you did it just because you wanted to find something wrong with it, because it was just so normal for people around you to get nose jobs.
Which, P.S., is not normal to begin with.
No, I feel like, you know, in Beverly Hills and Bel Air where I grew up, like it was at my high school, all the girls were getting it. And
Kelly Taylor got one.
So, exactly. Yep. I did think my nose was a little wide. I think that's why I did it. I mean, nowadays you go in and they have injectables that they can adjust your nose. You don't have to have surgery. Like, things are just so different. But I just wish I wouldn't have done it, because people always say to me, why do you always turn to the side? And the reason I turn to the side is because my nose is crooked. And it wasn't crooked before I got it done. And I do not like my front view. So because it is slightly askew, I always turn to the side. And that's something I've done forever. And it's, you know, it's hard.
It's exhausting for
you.
I mean, because I'm not allowed to stand on your right side. I always have to be on your left side.
This is correct, but...
And I just want everyone to know that that's not my good side.
Oh, like you sacrifice for the friendship.
I sacrifice my good side.
I'm going on record. She is perfectly symmetric.
I am not. Nobody is.
Tori, I can't even see what you're saying. I can't. You're looking at me straightforward right now, and it looks perfect.
But it's possibly a little more in my brain than it really was, but I don't know. It's just something that I don't think I should have done at 16. Definitely. I didn't know what I was doing, and if I had to do over, I wouldn't have done. Well, there are a lot of things I wouldn't have done, but, you know, life.
We can get into that
when
later.
Yeah. When you're young, you do crazy things.
So I wasn't like, there for that episode. You had other friends.
I know I had other friends.
Bad influences.
I was saying we do crazy things when we're younger, and Brenda jumps right into that crazy cuckoo Beverly Hills pool when she gets tangled with Tiffany in this episode. It is weird that Donna is not there.
Looking back, but... Mm-hmm. Next week we'll see a new nose, so you know we got a new character to look forward to. So this episode that I am not in, let's talk about it.
Did you even watch this episode that you're not in, since you weren't in it?
She fast-forwarded.
I can't commit. No,
You watched it.
I did like the Cliff Notes version of this episode, and fact, like when it first came out, this was I didn't watch it. No.
Well, why don't we dive more into it? Let's take a break.
Okay.
And then we'll get into the shoplifting and the lessons. You know, there's always a lesson at the end of each episode, which I appreciated that.
I wanted to educate the people.
Yeah.
It's like an after school special.
Always.
In Beverly Hills.
We'll be right back.
Have either of you ever shoplifted? You can tell me.
I think when I was a little girl, I took a candy bar from the grocery store and I showed my dad right when we got in the car. Like my head, I was like proud of myself or something. And he made me walk back inside and give it back to them. And that was my only memory of ever doing something like that.
I took a lollipop from the teacher's desk. Because I was dared to at school, but I got in trouble.
I haven't shoplifted. I've had that happen with one of my daughters, but just like a little, like testing the waters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then learning the lessons, sort of what happened with Brenda and Cindy.
There's so much.
That's what we have to look forward to, girls growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Testing the waters.
Testing the waters.
I'm super close to it.
They already do. Mine's two. And she already gets under my skin. I was like, how? You are a third of my size.
I feel like it's crazy, though, that this character, Tiffany, comes out of nowhere. I mean, well, the show just started, so I guess all the characters are kind of coming out of nowhere. But I feel like she just comes out of nowhere, and she's my old best friend. I don't know. It just felt really weird. And like, but then, because I don't remember what happened, so when in watching the episode, I was like, I don't feel like they're very good friends. I think something's going on there. Mm-hmm. Then come to find out, Kelly doesn't really like her anymore.
Do you think Tiffany was supposed to be a character? Maybe, like...
Yeah, what was your dad doing at this time? Do you think he was just testing new talent out to see, like, what would stick, who he liked on camera best?
I don't remember. I was under the knife, so I have no idea, but maybe.
I feel like also Dylan wasn't in the show very much at all. Like only a couple scenes, maybe?
Yeah, a little bit.
I wonder why that was.
I feel like they were probably trying to figure out what to do with him and how they liked him, all those things that, you know, went on.
Mm-hmm. Would you guys film an episode just like from start to finish, or would you do pieces for other future episodes and then piece it all together?
Mm-mm. No, we do one episode at a time. You kind of mix it up. Maybe you do the beginning or the end or the middle first or whatever, but however it works. But all the way through, usually like 7 to 10 days for one episode.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like 7 to 10 hours. No way. 7 to 10 days.
Mm-hmm. But then they started adding like a crazy number of episodes in later seasons.
Oh boy. Yeah.
And we would shoot 34 episodes a year.
When usually it's
the last episode being like a 2-hour finale.
Right. When usually one season is like 22, right? 20.
Yeah. 22 so we episodes. Did double ups, but we'll get into that. Those were two episodes filming at the same time. Yeah. And it was insane hours.
It was.
Thank God we were young.
Did anybody else enjoy the intensity of Cindy and Brenda's fight?
Me. I
like,
did.
The acting was phenomenal, but
so good.
I cried. Like, I felt the emotion from both angles, like the mother daughter aspect. And yeah. I thought that was nice that it was incorporated.
Yeah. I know whenever I get goosebumps that something is like going on real. And that scene gave me goosebumps because Shannon's acting in that scene was so good. And Carol Potter was so believable as Cindy. And I just believed that she was feeling all these feelings that she didn't have anybody to talk to about. And Brenda was feeling the same way, but they just couldn't quite connect in that moment for whatever reason, mother-daughter energy or whatever it was. But it was very moving.
When I was young, I didn't connect to that scene. I was kidding earlier. I did watch it. But now as a mom and having two daughters, you definitely start to be like, wow. And I mean, I kind of love their relationship that they have. It's really nice. You know, like communication wasn't always a thing in my household growing up. So seeing the relationship that Brenda and Cindy have, and even Jim Walsh and Brandon, and just like how much they talk to their kids and communicate, mm-hmm. I'm just like, wow, that's so cool. So I definitely took a page out of their book when I became a parent, I think. It like stayed with me, mm-hmm. the Walshes.
Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted to be a Walsh.
Yeah.
I did. I wanted to hang out in that kitchen. I did hang out in that kitchen.
A lot.
I wanted to go back. When I watched the episode, I was like, I want to go back to that kitchen and just sit at that table and
like after watch, school.
Yeah,
right?
Watch Carol Potter eat all the prop food. I wanted to be there again.
Can you explain that?
Oh, okay. Yeah. We used to do a lot of scenes where, like family dinner scenes, where we were all sitting around a table or all around a party tray of food. And they give you food it's real, but it's prop food, meaning it has to match for every take. So if you eat some, they have to be able to like replenish it so that it looks the way it did in the beginning. Right. And they usually spray prop food with like a glistening agent to make shinier and prettier.
Still edible.
Yeah, ish. And Carol was known amongst the kids. That would be us at the time. We would always be like, oh my God, Carol's eating all the food. And the prop guys would come in and they would just be getting so annoyed.
And she'd be like, oh, this is good. And like during rehearsal, remember?
During rehearsal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd like, never eat the prop food during rehearsal.
Right. No. And I mean, us being young and like, you know, not wanting to eat on camera anyway, like, because you're like, oh, do I have food in my teeth? Am I going to be saying a line? Because it was new for us. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't just like, on camera. Sorry. could you feel that one? Could you see it?
Yeah,
but she did. She went for it. But yeah, sometimes they would like, we hadn't gotten to a first take yet and they'd have to complete. I like that you said replenish. Replenish the props. And then they were like, oh, and didn't Ross was our prop guy. He'd be like, I'm going to spray it with something else. And then she can't do it.
Ross and Barbie, they were like, she's going to get diarrhea.
And then Gretchen. Yeah.
But back to
but it wasn't
her
a bad
acting.
Thing. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do.
She was in the moment.
I love it.
She was in the moment. But she was, I'd never appreciated her acting abilities. I never appreciated her contribution to the show when we were filming it because I was young and it was all about me and us and the kids, you know?
Right.
In my mind, I just wasn't developed enough to think outside of my little box. And mm-hmm. now watching it, I find myself wanting more scenes with Carol and wanting Jim and Cindy to talk to each other about stuff. Like, but because they don't. And jumping ahead in the episode, when they're sitting on the couch, you think that there's going to be a nice moment there, but there isn't. Jim ends up getting a lovely blue tracksuit from somewhere. They send him a tracksuit, which I was really into that tracksuit. And Cindy gets mad because she thought it was a present for her. And then Brandon comes in and ruins the whole thing. So you don't get to see what's going on.
Times have changed so much that nowadays on like their storyline would be something. They would have dates. It would be a centric storyline, not just the kids. Thank goodness for us, because we're at that age now. So
I think that if in future episodes, they do kind of delve into the mom and dad world a little bit. And maybe that wasn't what they wanted the show to be, or they, you know, that's not what the viewers wanted. So they kind of kept gradually going back to the just the kids all the time.
You see the bond with them, obviously, with their kids on camera. Were they like that off camera? Did all of you guys bond with them?
James. With Jim and Cindy? Yeah.
James was closer. Jim and Cindy. James Eckhouse. I feel like he was like with the boys hanging. Like he was really, really cool. Carol was cool, but she kind of would do her own thing and, you know, go to her dressing room and read. And I feel like James would always be like hanging out with Jason and Luke and like talking. Aww. Like he was like, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like we didn't really hang out with
either of them. Yeah. No. I don't even remember where they were kept. Like, you know.
Where were they kept? Oh, here we go again, because we weren't allowed out of that set. Yeah,
we were rape motel. We were kept at, in our little boxes, but I don't remember where their boxes were.
They were up until this point, they were the only two adults, I guess, until...
Well,
the peach
were
pit.
They? I mean, you know, Gabrielle was older than us.
Well, she did, that doesn't count.
I don't consider
she's
her
not,
the,
one
of the
one
adults.
Of the kids.
She was, but she didn't really engage in all the shenanigans that went on at set. She was like, okay, cool, you guys. I'm going to go do my thing.
Yeah, that's true.
And we'd be all like, ah!
She was a little more mature than us.
Growing out, yeah.
Was she?
Yeah. She was, yeah. She was the den mom.
Yes, yeah. Definitely always took on that den mom role. She's
Which
so,
now she's not.
Yeah. Like, no, she likes to wow out.
Well, when you guys had BH 90210 and her storyline was like, wow.
But seriously, just on a friend level, there's friends that are, you know, even sometimes 4 or 5 years, it makes a difference when you're young, right?
Yeah.
So now it's all balance. Like we went back to BH 90210 and the three of us were like hanging out and having drinks, and I was like, Gab is the coolest person ever. I've known her my whole life, but like this was a side we didn't share before, and now all of a sudden it was all equal, and it was so nice.
It was
Well, the age difference when you're teenagers as opposed to people that are in their 20s, that's night and day.
She loves her vodka. Wow.
She is a proponent of the vodka. Yeah.
What's your guys' drink?
I mean, we're drinking it right now. Red wine. And
always wine?
I like vodka or wine. That okay. would be my, yeah.
Same.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't Cindy want to hire a maid? And how did that come to be? Did Jim hire her for Cindy and didn't tell her? Or
either that, or like the company this. Did, and like he forgot to, that was it. He forgot to tell her, because I remember he said in the
she
episode.
She just shows up.
Why did the yeah. why the company hire? I'm confused. Sorry.
Because that's what you do in Beverly Hills. You get a housekeeper. You get a maid, right? I don't know.
Like you just get a free one.
Well, they show up at your doorstep apparently. Also in this episode, Brandon and blows off his job and shows up goes to. Dinner or something with Dylan, right? And they end up at what becomes the peach pit. It is the peach pit. It doesn't look like the peach pit on the outside, but when they were inside in the scene, it looks exactly like it's always looked. And there was Nat behind the counter.
Oh, Joey Tata.
Joey Tata. Oh,
now Joey Tata, I will say, he never stayed with the parents. He always was right up in there with the kids. Was he not?
He was. He was so fun.
And he was good fun on a Friday night once we were of age. he would have a suitcase.
Good job clarifying.
Not a problem.
A bar and a suitcase.
He had a bar and a suitcase, and once we were all legal age, Friday nights, Peach Pit after dark, any scenes at the Peach Pit, and so on, were good times.
Oh, that's good to know.
He was
but
right
it just
across the hall
when
for
you
me.
See him, don't you? Don't when you see him, don't you just feel like everything's gonna be okay? There's Nat, there's some pie, everything's gonna be okay. And that's where Brandon starts working at the Peach Pit, right?
So the Peach Pit, I don't know the full story, but it was inspired by a famous restaurant in LA called the Apple Pan.
Which is known for pies and burgers?
Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. Because they go there for pie, which makes sense.
Yeah.
And then it starts evolving into, it's like a diner.
It literally is a diner with a bar. It's like verbatim Apple Pan, and they turned it into the Peach Pit.
And that always happens with shows. They find like a central hub that all the crew, all the cast can congregate at and be in all the scenes together. And that was our coffee shop. That was our, you know, friends had the
coffee shop. That was our central park. Who knew that it would become so iconic? I feel like to us at the time, it was just like, oh, this is like a 50s diner.
Was that food real?
Okay.
The
French fries that were real. They gave us real French fries. That was nice.
The burgers were real.
I never ate one of those. I never ate a burger, though. Did you?
I don't remember. Okay, but I didn't know this. Ian told me that the burgers were from Fat Burger down the street.
I believe that.
Did you ever go to those little candy machines in the corner of the Peach Pit?
Yeah.
You know, the kind you put a little dollar, or like a coin in and turn it and the goodies come out.
Did
the
you get
thing?
What I got?
Did you eat what you got? You did. Yeah.
What was it?
Tori.
It's like you maggots, can't just nod your head.
She got maggots. She got maggots with her 25 cents. The food in them had been sitting there for so long. It was like petrified and there was maggots in it. We didn't know.
OMG.
I'm going to throw up. I think they were like peanuts or something or candy. It was something. Of course I did. Aww. I was probably distracted. Brian was probably like, oh, look at your furry face. And I was like, what? Oh, my God. And like ate it. And then I was like, oh, maggots. I'm eating maggots. You didn't fall for that, did you?
You didn't even notice.
Nah, probably not. Good protein, though.
Does anybody out there know what Nat's last name on the show was? Do you know, Tor?
I do, but I don't know how to pronounce it. Busiccio?
Nat Busiccio?
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 Busiccio. You can say it however you want.
I mean, he
was it never used because nobody could pronounce it?
I wonder what, like,
why
it's
would
such
they
a
give
tough
him such
name?
A complicated name? Yeah. Like, why?
We've gotten this trivia before over the years, and we never can say it or know. Like,
oh, that's funny.
And we just kind of know it because we've gotten this trivia asked of us. Why give that name? It must have been somebody's name. Well, no, they can't put a real person's name. I don't know. It's a tough one.
Yeah, they just wanted to mess with us.
Remember Willie?
Who's Willie?
Oh, yeah. You see Willie back on the grill behind Nat at the Peach Pit. The guy, the cook. Like, he works there. He's the cook.
He passed away this year.
I know. We loved Willie. And who else worked there at the Peach Pit?
Oh, my God. What's his real name? Now I feel terrible.
I remember a blonde woman named Nadine.
Oh, my God. At the Peach Pit. Remember?
Mm-hmm. How did I just remember?
So when
that?
You say these people, were they? I'm confused. Were they actors or were they actual cooks that were hired to?
They weren't cooks.
Okay, so they were actors.
No, they were actors. They were always in the Peach Pit. Whenever we went there, they were there already. Like, it's like they lived there.
Yeah, it was like okay. Who's the guy that loves Rachel at Central Perk, and he never ever talked to. Until Gunther. So seasons later, they gave him a line or two. They were like that, which I think they did give Willie and Nadine eventually a line or two here and there. But they were just like always there all the seasons.
So as an actor, is that considered, that's not a full-time job, I'm assuming. Or is it for some?
He was there every episode.
Yeah, whenever we were shooting in the Peach Pit, they were on deck for sure.
So
I like that.
Episode
makes
three.
It feel like, you know. Consistent.
We meet the Peach Pit for the first time. It's debuted to the world. Have you guys seen any of the episodes besides the pilot at this point? Or no?
You mean in real time? Back then?
In real time when you guys were filming.
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
We were just flying blind.
Had we seen the pilot? Yeah.
I don't even know if we'd probably seen the pilot.
I don't think so. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. nothing had aired when we were filming episode 3.
When does it air? How many episodes until you start airing stuff?
I don't know. I can go by my nose, and I turned 16 in May, so we definitely filmed the pilot before May, and after May, we definitely filmed the first episode, and then it didn't premiere till October, right?
October.
Yes, because mm-hmm. this one was October 18th, 1990. 18th. Why are you laughing, Jenny?
Because she said I can go by my nose. She's like, shut up. That's like her barometer. That's her barometer of like the thing, her events in her life.
I was distracted by your nails. You put your finger.
Yeah,
like
they're
this
still on, it's... you guys. Listen.
Like your witch nails on right now.
She puts them in our face just to piss me off, I think.
No, you know I talk up with my hands. And I don't see your eyes going to my hands. You guys, I'm a hand talker.
I love it. But you have nails right now for a role you're doing. So we get it. Yes.
Wait, I was going to say, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, what?
So I usually go back in my life and access dates by pregnancies because I've had so many. But yeah.
True.
Pregnancies and plastic surgery. There we go.
Oh, gosh.
That's a joke, you guys. That's a joke. Oh,
great lesson for all the kids out there. Wait, I have a funny line that I remember from this episode.
Yeah.
That I remember loving. It's a Kelly line. And it's about Tiffany, and she says, "Klepto, nympho, all the O's." Isn't that funny? I don't know.
That's funny. That.
Klepto, nympho.
There was one that I liked. It was from Tiffany, and she goes, "Why don't you just go back to mommy, Brenda?"
Ouch!
When they were outside,
you had a lot of good zingers.
If you were in the episode, Tori, there'd be so many more.
I know. I don't know.
Yeah. Sorry. I guess we just had to have those two.
If I was there, it would have been aside from the pilot, my second episode if I was there. So I would have just been, you know, saying hi still.
You remember really the scene? Hi. Do you remember? You weren't there. I'm asking you if you remember, but you watched it. Do you remember the scene when Tiffany is being filmed by David Silver and she goes, "I know what you want," and she takes off her dress in the school. Hello. And then the best part of that scene is when David just drops out of frame.
His
like he faints.
Reaction.
So good.
Because that's
so
what any
much.
Teenage boy would do if that happened, because that just didn't happen in school.
No, that got me. I was like, wait, what is happening?
Well, we need to take a break, and we'll come right back.
Oh, my gosh. We have the lovely Robin Lively on. Oh, my gosh.
Robin.
Oh, my gosh.
Does she? Do she you look, not age?
She doesn't exactly age, right?
I was just going to say that.
So we saw each other. Well, a year ago now, right? Heart Radio. Yeah. So, and she doesn't age. She looks exactly the same in person.
Yeah. Those are so sweet. Not fair. You. Jenny, how are
Hi.
You?
Hi. Oh, my God. How long has it been since I've seen you? I mean,
I have.
Would it be
so
back to
long,
the OG
like,
where we met?
Yes. Probably. Oh, well, probably on set. Probably on set was probably the last time I saw you.
Wow. Oh, we did a movie together when we were, didn't we? Were we in the same movie? I'm really trying to figure this out because I was in a movie called Teen Angel and you were right. in a movie called Teen Angel.
Of course. Yes.
Was it the same movie?
Of course it was. Remember we were in Utah and that's how we met. That's when the three of us met, 89. Crazy.
She does not have a good memory. This is no reflection on you. She literally, she like, it's really great that she even remembered meeting you on that movie. Let's just say that.
Oh my
she
God.
Knew. You knew.
I knew we had worked together. Absolutely. I just couldn't figure out what it was. But oh my God, we shot that in Utah.
It was like a year before you guys started doing 90210. And it was on that show.
And is that when you and Jason started dating from that movie? Or you became friends?
Yes. Yeah, we started dating then. Yeah.
how crazy that the three of you were on that a year before 90210. That's insane.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
It
yeah.
is weird.
It was insane.
That way, and you, yeah. How old were you when you and Jason met and started going out?
I was 17.
17. How Ooh. Old was he?
And Jason was 19, but
he was
so
younger than he told all of us.
He was so
remember that?
Secretive. Yes.
So
he was
secretive.
So secretive. I'm like, how old are you? Oh no, he wouldn't tell me. And then I ended up seeing his license and he was so mad. I was like, who cares? Like, he was almost 20 at the time, but you know.
That's how it happened for us too. We didn't ever know how old he was until I think it was Shannon stole his wallet one day when we were on a break.
Yes.
And we all like hovered around and looked at his license to find out his real age.
He got so mad.
Oh, he was so
and
mad.
We assumed like, why wouldn't he tell us? So everyone assumed like he was older and trying to play younger because of it. And then Ian was like, dude, who like wants to age themselves up?
Exactly. Exactly. He was the same then, you guys, like the exact same. And I think I did the same thing. I think I actually took his wallet and looked because I was so curious.
Well, you deserve the right to know you were like exclusively dating him, right?
Yeah.
So that's how, well, even though you guys met before, that's how we came back around. And that's how Robin and I met is she was dating Jason Priestley when we started 90210.
Right.
That's all we knew was Jason and Robin.
So you dated him pre-stardom.
Oh.
Well,
Sister Kate?
It was during Sister Kate. So it was actually a year before 90210 and then a year into it. So it was such a drastic shift in everything. The dynamics were just like, and we were so young at the time, you know, and I honestly, like, I feel for him for hanging into the relationship as long as we did, because that had to have been so hard. It was life altering. That fame was crazy. As you guys well know, it was a phenomenon, and it was interesting for me to be on the outside of it, but looking in and seeing it happen and him being just this young, you know, gorgeous kid from Canada, from Vancouver. And he was, you know, he had done a couple of projects, but no one knew who he was at the time. So it was very interesting to have that massive shift. Like, I'd never seen anything like it. Yeah.
Did you guys live together? Were you living together when he started doing?
No, we never lived together. We discussed it, but that was something that I was like, yeah, I decided early on that I didn't want to do that because I had seen it, you know, around me when people did that. And it was so much harder to exit a relationship if you did that. And so
oh my gosh. I have a question. Sorry. I'm going to ask a question. I have no idea. It's just because I watched the unauthorized version of 90210 on Lifetime, and I didn't even know this happened. Is it true? Did Jason live with Brad Pitt?
I don't think they lived together. No, but I mean,
it was in there, and I was like, what?
Yeah, I don't think, not that I'm aware of. I mean, we all hung out together a lot, and that's how I met Brad. Gosh, you guys, I remember being.
Brad Pitt.
Sorry. Yeah, let's talk about Brad. So, Jason and I had just started dating. He was doing Sister Kate, and he threw a surprise birthday party for me and his roommate, Dave. I'm sure you guys know Dave Sherrill.
Yes.
So Dave was dating Hannah Catrona at the time. Hannah was on Sister Kate. And so they threw a dual surprise party for the two of us. And there was Brad Pitt, who was not Brad Pitt at the time.
Was he on Knots Landing yet?
I don't know. Okay. I just remember being like, who is that? Oh, God. Oh my gosh. He was gorgeous. He was absolutely gorgeous and super nice.
I mean, most women would say that about the man you were dating, but you were like, who is that? I hear you. Copy that.
Yeah, copy that. Jason was, you know, absolutely gorgeous, as you guys know. In fact, I would always look at him and be like, I don't know if I really like the fact that he's so much more beautiful than me. Like, he's so gorgeous. I'm like, is this okay? I don't know.
Those eyes.
The woman who is totally gorgeous, but yes, we're all girls here. We get that.
Yeah.
Those eyes. Did you ever get over? Did the eyes ever get easier to look at, or were they just always like, those eyes? I don't care what he's saying or doing. Those eyes.
It was always the eyes, right? You guys, it's so funny. Well, Jen, I mean, Tori, you know, do you guys know that that I auditioned for 90210 and was offered the role of Andrea before Jason actually was? Yes.
I know my dad loved you. He loved you so much.
Love your dad.
He loved you.
It was so wonderful to get to work with him. In this industry, he was in a class of his own. He was so wonderful, as you know, and I loved him so much. So I was so happy to get to go on to do Savannah, and work with him. But yeah, I auditioned for Andrea before Jason went in, and I passed on it. I met with your dad and loved him, but I passed because I was like, at that point, I kept playing the same role of the underdog. And I was just like, yeah, I just don't want to do this. I don't want to do this role anymore. And I loved the role of the sister, but Shannon was already playing the role. So I ended up passing, and then Jason went in and got it. And honestly, like, to this day, I feel totally fine with that decision, because I can't imagine. The breakup was hard enough on its own, because he was really my first love. You know, I was so young and he was so young, and we were crazy about each other. And it was just, it was a lot for a relationship for two people that were that young.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you guys were on set together and that would have been rough?
No, honestly, like, it would have been so horribly painful and so terrible. I can't imagine. I dated a guy that I was working with on Savannah, and it was a nightmare.
Robin Lively. Who
did you date? David Gale. You guys know David.
Yes, he was on 90210.
Yeah. I shouldn't say it was a nightmare.
It was a nightmare. Go ahead.
It was really hard. You guys, we should save this for off the podcast. But you know, he was great. He was great, but it was just tough because it forced us, I think, to stay together longer than we ever should have. And my dad always said to me, Robin, don't ever fish off the company pier. And I was like, too late. I already did that.
That's such a great thing.
Don't where you eat.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's right.
But the dad
don't fish off the company pier.
You guys didn't. Tori, you dated Brian, though. Here I'm asking you questions now. Was that hard?
We haven't gotten there at this point in the podcast. Okay, we do, it's going to be the girl's version of what dating was and the boy's version, because he said, totally. She said, is always different in each other's minds. But you know what I want to ask? I want to ask from your perspective. Obviously, you said, like, you know, life altering for him. Everything blew up, like, and we know, but we don't know, because it was very different for the boys, specifically for Jason and Luke. And I would love to hear from your perspective, like, behind the scenes at home, what was it like for Jason? Because Jason to this day still says that he has a hard time going to shopping malls because of his experiences.
He has PTSD.
Yes.
Oh my, you guys, that's so insane.
We didn't know that. And he told us last summer, like, he said it took him till his daughter was at a certain age and, like, to go again, because he just couldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, I guess I do hold a very special position here, knowing Jason before and then Jason a year into it, when it was like everything was blowing up. But as you guys know, he is so wonderful, and he was so wonderful to me. And I loved him with my entire being. So
first loves.
I know. They really, honestly, they do. And so this is an interesting story. So I had been in this industry my whole life since I was a child, and we would go to events and things, and you know how they're like, oh, let's get a photo with Robin. Okay, Robin and Jason. Okay, Jason, will you step out of the way, please? And then they wanted just singles of me. Mm-hmm. And whatever, no big deal. I didn't think anything about it. But then obviously 90210 happens, and everything was like, we would be driving down the road and girls would just start screaming and screaming. And I'm like, oh, this is so weird. This is so hard. This feels so awful. I don't like this. And I mean, I felt insecure about it because I just thought how much pressure that must be for him, and how tempting that must be for him to be like, oh, he could have literally anybody he wanted, you know? Mm-hmm. So we went from having the sweetest, like, most trusting and wonderful relationship to, I think, a lot of insecurities. And I would sit there and watch. We'd go to, like, meetings with people from People Magazine, and they would just be all up in his business. Oh, you're so wonderful. You're so this. And I would just sit on the outside watching. And I'm just like, I can't do this. This is so hard. But Jason, his life got so busy. And I suddenly was, I loved his publicist. We were all like a little family, but then it became very, I was invited less and less to red carpet events. They wanted him to have the image of mm-hmm. a single guy. And that was really hurtful for me. But, you know, it is what it is. And like I said, we were so young, and Jason handled it the best he could. And I mean, it was hard. It was really hard. And then to break up and then have to go into the store and see him plaster on every magazine cover.
Oh my
was
God.
Horrible.
You're breaking my heart, Robin Lively.
Oh,
you're super happy and everything worked out for you. So,
yes.
But yeah, you know what? It does. It does. And honestly, like, it does. Like, Jason and I have said the same thing, you know, like, his family is so beautiful and so wonderful, and mine as well. But, you know, you always have a special place in
your
heart.
Are you still close with them? I feel
no,
like
no, I no, 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 no. But
I feel like I saw on Instagram his sister had posted and you commented or something. And
yeah, no, okay. we're friends.
You look know, at like, me stalking everyone's Instagram. Sorry.
No, we are friends, but it's not like we talk all the time. But if something comes up and I right. go, if I have a question, or, you know, we don't hesitate to reach out. But it's not like, oh, hey, let's, you know, we don't hang out as families, but we should. I've never met his wife. I think she's absolutely stunning, and
you would adore her. She's literally the nicest human you've ever met.
She seems like it. She really does. She seems like it. Their family is so, so beautiful and so
clearly
sweet.
He has so good taste in women.
Like really nice women. No, I mean, we're obviously friends with Christina Lise, and they were together for years, and she's just a good person. He does. He has really good taste in women. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Out of a brother. But it's interesting to hear your perspective, because I never thought of it that way. I just, you know, we were young and it was like, okay, Jason's with Robin and we loved you and we saw you. And then you guys weren't together and we never heard the story. I'm sure the guys did. Mm-hmm. We weren't privy to that. Mm-hmm. But to hear it from the young girl's perspective of going out with someone that has Insta fame and all of a sudden you have there, I wouldn't be able to handle that. That just gave me all the feels of going back to my teen years and being jealous.
Yes.
Like, Jen and I went through like first loves like together, and it was hard then. I can't imagine my first love being Jason Priestley, who was like the biggest star in the world at the time. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, right. And it was
I wouldn't be able to deal with it.
No, it was so terrible. And to be that young and like impressionable, and it was such formidable years for me during that time. And I was, 17 to 19. And then to have to deal with the pain of it on its own, and then to have to be exposed to all of that constantly I think it prolonged it for me. It was just like, I couldn't get past it for so long. Not that I couldn't get over him, but it was just the ouch of it all, you know, the hurt of it all was like, because it was everywhere. It was, you guys were everywhere.
So suffice to say, you didn't watch Beverly Hills 90210.
I did it for a while.
That's okay. You have a really good excuse. I'm good with that. Yeah. We're all fine with that.
I loved you guys and I loved the show and I felt so much a part of it because I knew all of you and adored you all. So that was also hard for me. But I ended up watching it because I did love it. I loved it so much.
What did you think when he wrote about it in his book?
That was very, very, it was very surprising. It was took me by surprise because I did not know that that was happening. I had absolutely no clue. I heard that the book came out and then one of my friends said, oh, I'm sure he's written about you. And I said, no, I'm sure he would have told me, or I doubt it. And then I saw they screenshotted an interview with him and there was my photo with him on the set of teenager, Jenny, as you know, teenager. And I was like, oh my gosh, what? And so I immediately, I'm like, I need this book. I need to see, what did he say? What did he say about me?
It was all good though, right? It was all good.
It was so, yeah, all good, all good. And I'm sure that's why he didn't say anything to me about it, but it couldn't have been kinder, for sure. But I was like, could not get the book fast enough.
Robin, I can't, first of all, I can't believe how gorgeous you look. You're just,
well, I think the exactly, same about you, and I'm not saying that.
I'm not either. So, you're just a really pretty woman. You must be very so happy. I like that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I was so happy to meet you.
You too. Thanks for being on our show.
Oh, it's just my absolute pleasure, guys. We should get together at some point. I miss you guys. Genuinely, I do.
I know. When we can get together, let's do that.
Let's do that. That would have been so much more fun to have seen you guys and given you hugs. I love being a part of this. It was really, really fun.
Thanks, Robin. Good to see you.
Bye.
Oh my God, she is so cute. I'm not going to lie, I was a huge fan of Teen Witch.
Me too. I don't want to say it, but that's all I saw the entire time we were talking to her.
Right?
Like,
me too. It's Teen Witch. She looks the same.
She's a beautiful woman.
She is. Yeah. And she's an insane acting family. I don't know if anyone knows, like, her sister is Blake Lively.
Yeah.
That's like her baby sister, right? And that's, yeah, that's crazy because she's married to Ryan Reynolds, who I named my dog after. His name is Arthur Bear Reynolds because he's the love child of me and Ryan Reynolds.
Do you remember the song from Teen Witch?
Like, no.
I wanna be the most popular girl. You don't remember that?
No, not at all.
No, but keep singing. I like this.
Yeah, more. Do more.
No, that's it. That's it. It makes sense now that we saw a little like insight into Jason's love life of an ex, because an ex comes back in the next week's episode. I said the word next a lot. In next week's episode, Brandon's ex-girlfriend comes to visit.
Ooh.
So it's kind of full circle that we just talked to Robin
about Jason's ex. Now I want to hear Jason's side. Like, I wonder, was she his first love? And was he conflicted? Like, I want to think, like, romance never dies. Like, I want to think he was conflicted. Like, oh my gosh, I'm the biggest star in the world. Like, I keep saying the world. Like,
it was the world.
I'm such a big, like, star now. And, like, every woman wants me. But I have the love of my life. Like, what do I do? Like, did he feel conflicted?
He was so young. I feel like they were both so young.
She made it seem like he felt conflicted.
I know she did. Mm. He always spoke so fondly of her. But it's just different from a boy and a girl's perspective. It always is, no matter what age you're at.
Was it really that bad? Or I wouldn't say bad, but was it that intense when you guys would go to the mall or go anywhere publicly? Did he get mobbed? Like, I'm trying to, like, picture what it was like for you guys.
Like Tori said, it was worse for the guys because they became these instant heartthrobs. But
I can remember heartthrobs.
Yeah, I can remember one time Fox booked Luke and me into an appearance, and this might be wrong, but I think it was at a zoo, which kind of makes sense. but I can remember the frenzy and the just chaos that came about and how they had to, like, extract us from the zoo, and we were going through back cages and trying to figure out a way out where we wouldn't get hurt because people were going nuts, and it was scary.
And there was, like, the infamous story about Luke and Jason in a mall, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know this story.
Yeah. Things got so crazy. The stage was getting, like, crowded.
It was like Beatles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they had to take them out in, like, a laundry basket or, like, a – they had to hide them.
Yeah.
And get them out of there.
Big, rolling, like in the movies, like when people hide from somebody. That's what they had to do. So exciting.
I just remember coming in Monday morning and like all the whisperings in the dressing room we would hear about, and we were like, what happened? It was like, not just like, imagine coming back to school after the weekend and you're all talking about like the drama that happened. Like, I went to this party and this boy, like, we had real drama. We would come back on Monday and it was like, oh my gosh. Like, Luke Perry and Jason Priestley had to be smuggled out of a mall because the fans were like, they were worried about them because there were so many people so excited. They were worried they would get injured. And it was on the news. And it was like insane.
Yeah, that first season was insane. And I just have so many vivid memories of being at appearances, being like on display and trying to do what I was supposed to do and being scared for my life and just looking out into a sea of people. And they were all so excited, and so the energy was just so frenzied. It was really scary, and that happened a lot in the beginning. Yeah.
Would you second guess going out just to run an errand at that point?
Yeah, I mean, it affected me differently, I think, than I of course took it extreme, and I sort of got like agoraphobic, where I couldn't leave the house. Like, I was not interested in leaving the safety of my home, whether I'd go to work and go home and that was it.
And that's how we had our first life wife date, which you don't remember. So
no, I remember. I remember.
You leaned on each other
we
for
became
support.
Friends, and we decided like we were gonna have our first like kind of, you know, friend get together outside Hang of work out. And it was crazy, so we couldn't do anything, but we had DIY in common. So we actually, you were the first person to take me to Michael's, which is like my oasis of life now. And we went to Michael's and you taught me how to hook a rug, and we sat in your house and we were probably like in rocking chairs. We were seeing our future as old women in rocking chairs. See?
Just hooking.
It was clearly laid out.
Yeah. Those were the days.
Those Which people days. Would think, I mean, we did go out and have times at clubs and stuff, but like, it's that memory of being with you in your house and learning how to hook a rug and just becoming friends with you that I cherish the most, rather than any moment going out to like a club or a restaurant at that age.
Aw. It's just funny to me that I taught you how to hook a rug. What am I, like a pilgrim? I'm a settler on the porch. Like, where did I get these skills?
Because you're a crafter and I'm a crafter. And that's like, amongst other things, what we bonded over. And you were like, have you ever hooked a rug? And I was doing like decoupage and stuff like that. It was very in then. I was like, I've never hooked a rug. And you're like, oh, I'll show you. And you showed me.
When you guys started going to clubs, were you able to just walk up? And you guys had tables, like you didn't have to do anything, right? They just let you right in, I'm assuming.
I mean,
I'm like, come on, that's the dream when you're that age.
Yeah, you kind of go in the back door, you go in a side door. It's very exclusive feeling.
Yeah,
if that's what
nice,
you're after.
Because, well, when I moved to LA, I would stand outside of a club right when they opened at 10 a.m. and just see a bunch of people get lit in before me. And it was just like, you know, very different from my LA experience.
But we were with a boyfriend who became your husband, and a boyfriend I didn't stay with, but they became friends. So I feel like when we went out on the scene, it wasn't just like girls going out. We were always with guys. Like, it was, do you remember going to see Lenny Kravitz?
I want to say yes, but I don't.
Like, she's big into music, and her first husband was a drummer,
right? Yeah. Very
so she was like big into the music scene, mm-hmm. and that was different for me. I never dated a musician ever. And so, you know, like, we went to concerts and stuff. And I remember I was scared of concerts and hated them, but I wanted to like go with Jen. And we went to Lenny Kravitz concert.
Did we have fun? It sounds like a good time.
We wore bodysuits, like matching bodysuits and jeans. I just remember that.
Aww. Well, that's one thing we haven't discussed is the fashion from this episode. Because you saw MC Hammer pants, you saw the big blazers.
Brian's blazers were like out of control, like the first few episodes. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, he had a cool look though. I really liked
him. Yeah.
Because he had like concert tees on and his little jeans and jackets. He just, and he had jewelry. He looked really cute. But there was a whole broad spectrum of different looks for different types of people on the show for sure. I like Brenda's outfits in this episode. I thought she looked super cute with like, she had blazers and little scrunchy socks and
scrunchy loafers. Socks. They're back in. Yeah. I just bought a pair.
Remember those socks?
Really?
Am I
too old? The white scrunchy ones?
Yeah. They were called like made by Eric or something. I just don't remember the name Eric socks.
Am I too old to wear them now? She's going to say yes.
I'm not going to comment.
Sis?
Well, scrunchies have made a comeback.
My kids wear them. My kids wear scrunchy mm-hmm. socks. Yeah. The whole everything.
The slouchy backpacks. I remember having one of those when I saw them in this episode.
I didn't really understand the hat, though. The hat choices.
Remember Blossom? I feel like that was the Blossom era. Like, those hats were in.
And flowers. Yeah. And, uh-huh. I know. When people talk about floral being in, I'm like, we did that decades ago.
But really, it was probably being repeated from, like, a previous time.
That's always what's maddening, you guys. Like, remember when we were young and we'd wear like 70s clothes and we'd be like, oh, we're getting vintage stuff. It's so cool. And our parents would be like, yeah, we wore that and 60s stuff. And we're like, we don't know what you're talking about. It's that feeling now. Like now
that's happening.
Back in and we're like, mm-hmm. it's happening. And you feel old. It's just like when your parents had to read a menu with reading glasses. And now we have glasses. To. Like, it's just like.
Or when the music is too loud and you're like, turn that racket down.
Yes,
I can't.
Oh my god,
that beat you kids listen to these days.
And you hear your parent, and you're like, "Oh, it's happening! Oh, it just came out of my mouth." We're never going with short hair, though.
I'm not gonna say never.
Like a short right now? No,
no. I mean, like, I will literally physically hold you down if you ever go to get a short grandma do. Like, you're never doing that.
Grandma
long
do.
Hair to the end long hair to the end.
It's so much work.
You had short hair in the series at some point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, we did.
Didn't both of you did
on there. Oh, we'll get to that.
Yeah,
mine was an accident. Hers was on purpose.
Yeah, we'll get to this. Many hairstyles.
So much more to get
cover.
To
yeah, well, I think that's about it, you guys, right? For this episode anyway.
Yeah, we covered it.
We covered it.
What's next?
Next episode.
That's right.
That's your homework, guys. Watch the next episode so we can chat about it.